Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Resurrected Republic Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN. Tonight, Texas Lori 101 and Aaron Davis.
Hello, hello. It's Aaron and Lori, and we have a special treat for you tonight. We have tips, tricks, tools, and strategies for helping you survive the incarceration of your loved one.
Lori, hi, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good.
I bet you're happy you have your Sorry, I bet you're happy you have your loved one and he's not incarcerated anymore. And you're going to teach us all the great stuff you learned.
I'm going to try and share everything that I learned, and hopefully it'll help somebody else. Just, one thing I do want to say is thank you to all of the RBN listeners for helping us through this, because we couldn't have done it without you. And you've been greatly appreciated, more than you know. And we had the fortunate, or the fortune to be able to have the audience to help us out where a lot of people don't. And hopefully, Aaron, with what we talk about tonight, we're able to give them some information that, makes things not so hard on them if this happens to them, because it seems to be happening quite too often now.
Yeah, well, you learn so much from experience, and this is not something you learn in college, that's for sure.
Thank goodness. But yeah, it's something that comes as a shock to you when it happens, and you learn on the fly. There are, but out and without them and their tips, we wouldn't have survived it. And when your loved one is arrested, there's a lot of things you've got to consider. One, you're in a state of shock. They're in a state of shock, and the government has an upper hand to take advantage of that, and they will try. You've got to pull yourself together pretty quickly and get your feet on the ground and get over whatever emotions that you have and start thinking. You've got to start thinking from day one, because your court date's coming up quick. And the best thing to do is to give out as little information as possible, speak as little as possible to anybody. Get ready for court. They may or may not assign an attorney. That's something that the courts do, whether you like it or not. They will assign an attorney, and you need to find out who that is as fast as possible and get in front of them and find out when the dates are for court. Sometimes it's the next day. Sometimes it's a couple of days. But the first thing you need to do.
They call that arraignment? Okay, gotcha.
Yes, ma'am. You have your arraignment, and that's where they just kind of let you know what the charges are and what they're doing. And sometimes now they're not even letting people know what their charges are.
And identity hearing.
Makes it, yes, they have an identity hearing is sometimes as well, if they don't know who you are. That gets into some of the legal things, but one needs to know what they need to do in court from day one. Start studying what you need to do. This is not legal advice. This is just tips and tricks on things that we've learned. Most people don't have an identity hearing, Thomas. There was unique circumstances to your case. But if you do have one, you need to know what it is and what they're doing. That's for a later date. But when you get there, find out who the attorney is, what their plan is, what they need to do. And the next thing you need to do, no matter how tired you are, how scared, how frustrated, get on a computer and read the rules of that court. They're usually not that long. They're usually easy. If you study rules of a court now. We were in the federal court, so we had to see the federal rules of criminal procedure or federal rules of civil procedure. Go and start reading them. Start learning what it is. Know the rules of court, because the first thing, when I got to Oregon and met with Thomas's lawyer, he said to me, "You don't know how things work here." And to his surprise, I did. And I went and studied, too. Learned that when you've read the rules of court of one court, 9 times out of 10, every court is going to follow suit. The rules of court are going to help you. The second thing you're going to need to know is where is your prisoner? Sometimes they'll tell you, sometimes they won't. If it's a federal case, you go to the Bureau of Prisons and you will be able to find them. You can look them up by name. But if they're in a city or county jail, there is not a national system where you can find your prisoner. You cannot find your loved one anywhere. You have to wait for them to call you, and they have no money on their books to call you. That's a key thing that is called deceling. One of the things, when they get to one prison, only put about $20 on their account to where they can call you once a week, because 9 times out of 10, they're going to move them. And when they move them, all they're doing is taking your money. If you had put more than $20 on that one account, they move them the next day to another place, you can put $10 because they're going to start moving them. Just enough for a phone call. Phone calls are usually from $5 to $10 a piece at each of these prisons. Don't put a lot of money on their accounts until they get settled. That's the key thing. They're going to bankrupt you if they're moving them around the country. It's hard on you. It's going to tear you up and wear on you. It's going to wear on your loved one. But you are on the outside. You have control of it. You are going to have to get a backbone and only put what is absolutely bare minimum on those accounts until they get where they are going to go. And you know exactly what court they're going to be on if they're moved from another state, another county, or another city. Those are key things that really saved us. Was the advice that I got from a lady, bless you, was just put the bare minimum until they get settled. That deceling will kill you. Some days you won't hear from them. I know Jake Ryan was moved a couple of months ago, and he was moved 2 or 3 times across the country. No one knew where he was going. No one knew when he was going to leave, when he was going to arrive. And it was about a week to 2 weeks of everyone just wondering if the man was okay. So you just have to know this is normal, and hang in there. You're not alone. This happens to a lot of these men. And when the prisons see that you're not going to play their game, they're 9 times as likely to understand they're not going to make money off of you. It does help to know how the system works. Do you have any questions, Erin?
Well, that sounds a lot like human trafficking and a cash cow for this prison industrial complex. And you'd think with millions of prisoners in this country that they would have a class on how to deal with this in high school or college, because it affects so many people in our country.
Mm-hmm. A lot. And they're making a lot of money off of people. I mean, just, you know, we have millions of prisoners, and if they're moving them around, you know, $2-3 a year off of them, you've just made $2-3 million minimum. And I'm lowballing all the numbers. So you can just think of how much just the phone companies make alone off of these guys. Finding the phone system to use. There's so many different phone systems. Finding out how to get money on their accounts is the other thing. You need to go, when you find out what prison they're at, they will have a website. Go to their website, and they will give you instructions of who runs their commissary. It will be an outside company. You can do either Western Union, or sometimes you can put your credit card on the account, but you must have a credit card. The credit card you get from Walmart help if you don't have a credit card. You can put a little bit at a time doing that as well. But they have to have your personal information on that credit card, so it can't be just a gift card. It has to be one that has your information. And there are a few that you can get at Walmart that take your information and almost act like a bank. Those are the ones you can use that tie directly to you. They have to know who's talking to these prisoners, and that's just how they work. And don't be afraid of them. We have to take care of each other. We have to stop having the fear. And we have to start doing the things we need to do to start changing these things. But that's the credit card you have to get, is the one that actually ties in to you with your Social Security number, and it actually acts like a bank account. Those are the ones that will work. You can use Western Union. Does the same thing. And they will give you the instructions on Western Union, and Western Union is very good at helping you find the prison that you need to put the money in the account too. They will know all the numbers and things that you need. It's nerve-wracking. Slow down when you're doing these things. Take it one step at a time. Sometimes the prisoners are in a hurry because they need their money on a certain date because commissary only goes, say, on a Tuesday, and you've got to have the money on Monday night so that they can use it on the Tuesday, and that's the only day they're going to be able to get toilet paper or toiletries, just the basics that they need to live, and a little bit of food possibly because the food in the prisons is going to kill them. They do need that little bit of extra nutrition that's coming their way. So these are the things you need to look at is, you know, the phone systems, the commissary systems, how much you put on them. And some of the prisons will actually have a commissary sheet on it so you can see what things, how much things actually cost so that you're not just throwing a lot of money out there. Listen to the people in prison because they're the one thing I learned is your loved one or the prisoners or the men or women in that facility are sharing. Somebody new comes in, they don't have things sometimes, they share trade. You need to listen to them. If they need a certain amount put on their account, there's a reason for it because this is how they all survive. And you really need to let them know there's a baseline that you can afford, but you need to listen to them and hear so they can survive in there. It's not a pretty place is the best way I can put it.
How do you find out their BOP number?
You can go on to BOP number on Google, and it will pull up the federal prison system. And when you do that, it will have their name and where they're located out of. Sometimes a halfway house will be under another prison system, but you will have their number. Nine times out of ten, it's straight to the prison where they're at. If they're under a jurisdiction in a halfway house, it may not read right where they're at. But it will read if they're actually in a prison. It will tell you exactly which prison they're in. When they check out of that prison, I know, for instance, Thomas went to court, had time served, and they threw him back in, I was raising all kinds of stink over what was going on, and they released him from the prison, and I couldn't find him for a while, but he was still there. So it's a little weird. You can tell when they're moving them, when they disappear. And when they disappear, they're not gone. What's happening is they're dieseling them. That means they're moving them from place to place. They may be taking them to court, and they're in a county jail or a city jail, or they're transferring them across the country, and they're in the county jails from the federal system. Now, as far as the county jails, you have to really just call them. That's the key part that you can't find them. There's not a national system where you can find a prisoner in a county jail.
It's not like that's a FedEx box. Or
no,
Amazon
no.
track.
No.
Why do you think they move them so much?
One, it tires them out. One, it mentally wears them down. When they move them, they usually have them in chains. They are in buses. They'll sit them. Sometimes, I know up front we were hearing reports that they will put them on the bus early. They would sit out in the bus in the heat. They would sit there for a while and act like they were going to move. And then they would take them back in. Now, they would check them out. They would lose their commissary. They would lose their phone accounts. They would lose everything, and they would have to check them back in. So to reinstate everything would take a day or two. Someone would have to either put money on their accounts again, or I don't know how that worked, but they would play with them in that manner to where everything that they had on the books was knocked out. And it was really difficult to find some of these guys because they kept putting them on the buses, checking them out of the prison, putting them on the buses like they were going to go to court or go to another jail, and then bringing them back inside. It's a game that these prisons play with these people. And it's not always the prisons. Sometimes it's the government itself. It's going to wear you down. You think you're going somewhere. You're sitting in a hot, cramped space all day, no water, barely any food. They feed you bare minimum. And they transport you. So you may be on this bus 12, 14 hours going from place to place or plane. You don't know where you're going or what they're doing. It's a mental game.
What if they're sitting on the bus or on the airplane and they have to go to the bathroom?
I don't think they care.
Wow. And they don't get diapers. I know that because I know a prisoner who's got a boil on his rear end and it's oozing and he's had it for 8 months and they won't give him a diaper. They said it's too expensive.
Right, right. And that's the other thing. Is he under the federal marshals program or is he under the jail system? In Tom's case, he was under the federal marshals and the marshals were responsible for his health care, not the prison. So you have to actually look at the duties. It's a key thing. If you're dealing with an agency, whether it's the U.S. Marshals, whether it's the Sheriff's Department, you have to go and see what the duties are. For a Sheriff's Department, go look at the codes in your state, where what a sheriff has to do, and then go and look at the county and see how that county's charter is set up. And it will have their duties in it to tell you exactly what they can and can't do.
How are they treated? How is it different for a family member to deal with a private versus public prison? Like a private prison system versus the government prison system. Is there a difference when you're dealing with that?
It's a difference. It's a big difference. Big difference. The private system, they are not under as many rules as the public system. They do have things that they have to by contract that pulls them into the responsibilities, but it's not the same. The private is more expensive. They have to keep their numbers up. They have their own rules. There are certain things they can and can't do, and you have to know what those are. You have to actually go and see the contract, if you can, of that private prison. As much of that contract that's public, or they read the rules books. You always go back to the rules.
Where do you get
the
rule
book? Of that prison? It'll be online. It will actually be online. I know at Pahrump, they didn't allow the Bible. They didn't allow certain things. Pahrump did not allow that. I think that was fought and won. I know that when the Bundys were there, they were allowed their Book of Mormon, and it seems that some of that was changed. But when I read that, the Bible wasn't allowed in some of the prisons. Other prisons, it was allowed in. And you have to remember, it's a private prison. It's not run by the government. They don't sign an oath to the Constitution in a private company. If you're going to hire somebody in a private company, you do it regardless of race, religion, sex, gender, all of that. You can't discriminate. So they can eliminate what they deem is necessary to eliminate.
Wow.
It's and private, will a prisoner- not public.
Will a prisoner go from public to private, back to public and private, or is it one or the other?
They go wherever, for federal, they go wherever the marshals deem they need to go for their court case.
So it could be either.
They can go back and forth. It could be either. Oh. And every prison is different, so you have to read their rules. Most of them have them online. Just go back to the rules. Go to the rules of the court. Go to the rules of the prison. Find out who's responsible. If you're dealing with the U.S. Marshals, go onto the website to the rules that the federal marshals have to follow. They have a handbook, too. For your lawyer, it's the U.S. Code, and they will also have the Department of Justice for the prosecutors. They have their own handbooks. Go read them what their duties are. That will help you in finding out who needs to do what. So that you're not going out there and complaining or saying something to the wrong person, because all they're going to do is look at you and say, I don't know how to help you. I don't know what to do. Go away. They'll minimalize you, and they themselves may not know who the right person is.
Well, there's a lot to learn, that's for sure, and that's what we're going to do for the next hour and a half. Thanks for joining us, and we hope we can help you learn something too.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, crossed the sea of tears. With no provision.
Welcome. Welcome back, folks. We're learning lots tonight from Laurie Anderson, who's been in this terrible situation where she had to deal with her loved one incarcerated. And
Laurie
she
Ann, not
so
Laurie
much.
Anderson.
Oh, Laurie, I'm sorry, what's your last name? Oh, I'm
I get so Tom's confused. Wife, Laurie Ann.
I'm sorry, Laurie Ann. Laurie Ann. Right, okay. Well, I was learning lots from you. You know, I'm in the prison ministry too, but Rudy does a lot of this technical stuff, and I'm learning a lot, and I know the audience is too. I see the chat room here. We're going to do a shout-out to Mer Bailey. She says she's going, she or he, I'm not sure, says they're going to share this archive because they have people that they know can learn a lot from this too. So where would you like to take us now? You want to tell us a little bit about how to deal in the courtroom with these evil court systems?
Right. Once you've found your prisoner and you've established the phone in the commissary so you can get them taken care of, hopefully you've gotten some paperwork ready already. If you are prepared for things, that's the time to get the paperwork into the clerk as fast as possible. Sometimes if they're far away from you, you have to do it via mail, which takes a little while. But get that paperwork in as fast as possible. If you don't have paperwork and you're new to this, they're going to assign an attorney to the case, unless you know how to fight that. So I'm going to go the route of people having an attorney assigned to them because that's what most people know. And I know a lot of the people that listen know how to do it without the attorney, but we're going to go with an attorney assigned. They're going to assign an attorney, and that attorney is usually going to be someone that knows the system and knows how to railroad your case through. You're going to have to go and sit down with that attorney, and you're going to have to put your foot down and know what you need to do, which means you need to have read the rules of court. You need to have read all of the statutes and codes around your case and know what you can and cannot do. That's a lot to do. So, you know, just for fun, I would suggest start reading the U.S. codes and start learning. It's 28 U.S.C., United States Code. That's over the court systems. Go and start getting yourself familiar with that so you know a little bit of what the judge can do, what the judge can't do, and how their lawyers are assigned and the duties that they have. We'll help you out. And again, that's 28 U.S.C. is over the court system. When you do that, you're going to be a little bit more familiar. You're going to know and be able to say, like I did to the attorney that looked at me and said, you don't know how things work. I said, it's a U.S. court. It works just like any other U.S. court. And they did. You'll be able to stand up to these guys and not be railroaded. That's your first battle, is going to be your attorney. Most of the time, 9 times out of 10, and I did meet some good attorneys who were trying to help their clients out the best they could. You're going to meet one that's out just for money, and they'll tell you they got into being an attorney just for money.
I thought that was all of them.
No, not all of them, but they're going to railroad you, and they're going to go by what they know. And when you bring another U.S. code or the rules of court up to them, they're going to feel offended because you actually know what you're talking about. They're going to try to minimalize you, and you need to get a real strong backbone, and you're going to need to learn how to get into that attorney's face respectfully and tell them to knock it off. Those are the key things you're going to need.
Did they give you discovery?
They usually get sent the discovery, but you have to ask. And you have to have permission from the prisoner to see it. And you have to have that written usually beforehand, because getting to your prisoner and getting their signature is almost impossible. So your visits are going to be between a screen and your prisoner. You're not going to see them. You're not going to have access to them or to give them paperwork. It's either through mail or through a screen. So my suggestion is, before anyone ever goes to court, you get a next friend. Go look up what a next friend is. Get a next friend signed and make sure it refers to all the court cases in the U.S. code that allows for a next friend so that you can get something done.
Is that like power of attorney or something?
It's almost like a power of attorney, but you can stand next to them in court. You can help them or file paperwork for them, and you can help in court. You can do some legal research behind the scenes and get it to them, which helps you out a little bit more than just not having anything. You do need a financial power of attorney, because finances are going to be taken care of. That's something that you need as well. So having a financial power of attorney and a next friend is going to help you in the courts to be able to take care of issues.
Are there different types of power of attorneys or
yes.
Just one? Oh, okay.
There's doable power of attorneys that will help you a little bit better. You need that on the finances so you can get to their accounts to help them and take care of the financial matters behind the scenes. You need to find somebody you trust if you think you're going to go to prison or you're standing up being an activist. I don't suggest giving these things out freely, but you need to have someone that can help you on the outside. And it has to be someone that takes a responsibility very seriously. Doing these things will allow you to take care of your matters that you need to have taken care of.
Wow, so much to learn. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back to RTR Truth Radio, and we're learning the truth about the prison system and tips, tricks, tools, and strategies to coping with this prison industrial complex when your loved one is behind bars. Thanks for joining us tonight, Lorianne, and you think you need to get a filing cabinet for all this paperwork?
I have a lot of notebooks and boxes full of all this paperwork now, and it's invaluable. You're going to spend a lot of time researching and to shorten that, the rules of court. The two things that you can read right now are the criminal rules of procedure and the federal criminal rules of procedure and the federal rules of civil procedure. Most courts follow both of those, whether they're county, city, regional, whatever courts you're going to, most of them follow those examples. So if you get familiar with those, you can also refer to those while you're in court. They may say, oh, we're not a federal court, but they still have to follow them. Everything comes from the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is the one in charge of all the courts. So when you're doing your research, those are the two I would get familiar with right now. And I would also get familiar with the Supreme Court. If you have a question, you can always call them and ask them where to find a reference. where to find the materials or where to find an answer. They can't give you legal advice, but you can always call them and ask them where you can find something, and they will very kindly help you. If it's a state court or county, you can call your state Supreme Court and find out as well. The Supreme Courts are very helpful, and they will have clerks there that will help you find the resources that you need or refer you to someone that can help you out. When you start reading the laws and the rules, it gets kind of nutty. You need a good dictionary and put your head to it, and you can do it. It's not hard. You don't have to remember the numbers. You don't have to remember all of this. You do have to write it down, because if you go to court, you can't take your computer. You can't take your phone. The attorneys can and the judges can, but you cannot. You must have it written down and put it in some type of order where you can find things. This is a key thing you need to do. You need to keep all the papers you filed with you and take them to court so that you always have them. Make sure you keep looking them over and reading them. If you find a mistake, correct it with the court. You are not held to the same standard as an attorney. And there is a statute on that as well, or a rule, one of the two. But get knowledgeable. Go and read these things now and know how our court systems work. Because one of the things, we were all involved in a high-profile court case. And a lot of things that I would hear people say, I would go, no, that's not right, because X, Y, Z, you could go to this statute and it would tell you, no, this is how it works, or this is the person to go to. People were just misinformed and saying our government should work this way, but it's been changed, and you have to go to the statutes and codes to find out how it works. And when it makes sense to you, you can see it. You can understand it. It takes a while. Give yourself a break. You've got to be tough, but give yourself a break. It's going to be your first time experiencing this. You're going to make mistakes. You're not going to know everything to do. And the judges will give you a little bit of breathing room. They will. Despite all the stories and things you hear, the judges can only do what they're told to do. Someone above them is telling them what to do, or a statute or a rule is telling them what to do. They have very little leeway in what they can do. They do take that liberty, but they have very little in what they can do. They're not the ones to attack. They're the ones to hear the case. You need to know what a lawyer is, what a prosecutor is, what the clerk is. You need to know what the deputy clerk to the judge is, who the judge is. I'm going to say that again. You need to know who the lawyer is, the prosecutor, the clerk of the court, the deputy clerk to the judge, and the judge. When you know who the people are and the roles they play, you'll know who to go to when you need to ask for things, or when you need to discuss issues. These are the people that are involved that are dancing around the court. A lot of people get mad at certain people. A lot of people got mad at the judges during the court cases. When I was sitting there, I went to the court cases of the last four in Portland, and a lot of people were getting mad at the judge when it wasn't the judge. It was the lack of the attorneys objecting to things, and they just didn't object. Now, she can intimidate them, and she did, but the lawyers did not stand up and do what they wanted to do, so, or needed to do. That's my opinion, and a lot of this is my opinion. I'm not giving you any legal advice. I'm telling you what you should do and what will help you. Whether you do it or not, that's totally up to you guys. But when you go in that court, go ahead.
But were there any defense attorneys sleeping?
No. They were all awake. Everyone was on their best behavior. The court was well run. The U.S. Marshals or the other ones, or the bailiffs, you need to know their duties. They were very aggressive as far as making you feel like you couldn't make a facial expression. You couldn't speak. You couldn't move. You had to do certain things. Minimalizing you and intimidating you is their game. And you need to learn how to not be minimalized and how not to be intimidated by these people. You're not 2 years old.
How do you do that?
There were certain things I refused to do. There were certain things that you have to decide for yourself how far you'll go to do that respectfully and responsibly. some ways you can do that is you can stand up to the marshals and say, excuse me, I don't mean you any harm. Please stop being so aggressive. And we did say that several times. When they had the verdict coming down, they all put on their tasers and they all put on their uniforms and were dressed differently. And they all started getting aggressive. And we looked at them and said, we're not going to cause a stink here. We're not going to harm anybody. You know, back off. Nothing's changed. We've been in court for weeks. Why are you doing this? A verdict is a verdict. There's nothing we can do. It's gone before the jury as it should. And they started backing off a little bit. When I got to the court at the first, the marshals were very rude. They wouldn't smile. They didn't know our names. They were just unbelievably crude. And we actually posted on Facebook, we can smile. We can be nice to each other. And that day we walked in and they were smiling at us. You know, I was known as Texas. Hello, Texas. How are you? And we did, you know, we were nice to each other. We sat and had some good talks after that. And we started educating each other. And, you know, there are things that we don't know that they have to do. And we learned. And that's opening the lines of the communication that is needed, much needed. We always knew their place. We always had a healthy respect for their place. And they had a healthy respect for our position after we had conversations with them. And we did not cross a line where their security was breached. That was just not done. But you have to stop letting these people be rude to you. I know when I was in New Jersey, it was a very dangerous place. Thomas was brought into courts in Camden. And this place is the dregs of society. There are drug dealers and just, it's horrible on the streets. And they said, oh, be careful, walk into your car. I said, someone's picking me up. And they allowed me to stay in the courthouse until my ride got there and stand on the courthouse steps so that I wasn't, you know, you can't do certain things. You can't stand on the courthouse steps and just stay there. You can't just stay inside the building if it's raining. You have to go out. When you're done with your business, you leave. They were polite. They allowed me to stay. I said, this is what's going on. And they allowed me to keep my safety and get my ride and do what I needed to do in a safe manner without threatening to arrest me. It gets to the point where if you don't communicate with everyone around you and let them know respectfully and responsibly, you're going to do what you need to do to take care of business. You will stand up to them, but you don't have to do it in such a rude manner. You can then live. You can then not be in fear that they're going to arrest you every 5 minutes. And
right. And you mentioned that you can't take a laptop or a cell phone into the courtroom. What if you're taking the bus there? You have to leave it at home, your phone?
They have a place you can check them in at the courthouses.
Oh, okay. They have a locker room.
They had a filing cabinet. They just kept them, and we checked them in and out. But they would take custody of the phones. They have a place. They had a little room outside of the courtroom. You could leave your jackets and things you couldn't bring in. You could, like, you, if you had a cup of coffee or something, you could leave it on the shelf. Or if you had a coat that you couldn't wear inside, you could leave it on the shelf. So there were places that you could leave your phones and things there, and they were safe. And no one was going to take it out. They knew who had what. But
do they have CCTV cameras in these courtrooms so that you can get a DVD later on? Like video?
That's up to the judge. That's up to the judge whether she releases this or not. Most, if not all, of your court proceedings are going to be recorded, either by voice or by camera. The federal court is recorded by camera. The other courts, I'm not sure how they're recorded. It just depends. Sometimes if you go into some federal courts, you'll have to get your own. I know in Alabama you have to get your own court reporter to record it. They don't record it at all. So
what?
You have to ask beforehand. You have to ask before you go to court beforehand, how is this recorded? What is going on? Ask the clerk of the courts that question before you go to court. But some judges will not allow the transcripts out during the proceedings or during a deliberation. Right now, you may be able to get some of the transcripts out from the Bundy cases. Some you may not. It's really up to the judge on that.
So every judge is in charge of their own courtroom, and it's not standard from state to state or from the whole country overall.
No, it'll be stated in the rules of the court or the statutes whether it has to be recorded or not. Some do, some do not. It will be in their rules. It will tell you what they need to do, and the court clerk will be able to tell you that. It depends on what type of case that you're going in on. If you're going in on a traffic ticket, with all of the millions of traffic tickets we have, that's just not cost effective. So they may have a court reporter there, but they may be just recording what's happening real quick and making an entry. It's up to the judge. It's really up to the judge.
I'm just thinking of the O.J. Simpson trial. You know, they had, it was like Hollywood cameras everywhere, right?
They had that at the Bundy trial. They did have the cameras. If you went to the overflow room, you saw everything on the camera. And I know that they were showing that around the country to the other government officials. But it was not shown to the public.
Wow.
So that's right. So I know for a fact that was recorded.
That's almost like a secret court.
It could be. I know we have secret courts here. It could be. But you can attend. There's only certain courts that if it deals with a minor, then it becomes a secret court to protect the minor.
Mm-hmm.
With an adult, you should be able to get into that courtroom at any time, as long as you're there when it starts and you're not disruptive. Every courtroom should be able to have court observers, and they're very, very, very important. I know a lot of times I did have two people that went to court with me one or two times. It was helpful. It was great for emotional strength, but most of the time I went in by myself for Thomas, and it was tough. I could see how the lawyers were rigging everything, and I'm not lying on that. They were rigging things. You see the circus before court if you go early enough.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how they operate. If you're going to go to court and you have time, make sure you go and observe as many court cases as possible, especially with the judge that you're going to be going in front of, if you can. It will help you see how a courtroom runs. And go to different types of cases as well. That will help you. Because sometimes the judges will allow things that if you don't object. I had an objection to the FBI special, what do you call them? They were specialists in guns, I guess you would call them. And they were picking them up, and as they were putting them down, they would point them at the people in the room. And
what?
They were still zip-tied, but it offended me greatly, because if you point something at someone, you're going to use it.
Right.
It's very disrespectful, and respect is a big thing in court. After court was over, I pulled the court clerk over, the court deputy, and I got on to them and said, you're not going to do that. And the next day, the judge came back and apologized for it. And everybody was looking at me like, we can't believe that happened. I said, but the judge was wrong to allow that. She didn't pick up it at that point. Someone pointed it out, and she corrected it, wouldn't allow them to do that the next day, and apologized. And that's how a judge should act. The judge earned a lot of my respect at that point. And this was a judge that everybody was saying was giving everybody a hard time. You couldn't get things done with them. But she apologized because she was told what was going on was wrong. She accepted the fact. She corrected it. And we moved on. And I went that day and said thank you. Because if I'm going to complain, I'm going to also say thank you. And that's one of the key things people need to know with the court. If you're going to complain when it's corrected, you need to say thank you. If something's going on in court, the apology is very important. Whether it's not an apology like you hit somebody by accident and you're saying you're sorry, it means a whole different thing in a courtroom. And people need to get that through their head. It's mentally a totally different aspect in a courtroom just to apologize to the judge. And it's important. It's really important because you brought a controversy in front of this judge. You don't know you brought a controversy, and that's what they're there to do, is to fix this controversy. whether we like it or not, Congress is responsible for setting it up that there's a controversy. The laws, the rules, the statutes, all of that emanates from Congress as the source. So you have to know where the source of all of it comes from. It goes from Congress to the Supreme Court down to their court. That's how our courts are set up in this country. And if you want something changed in the courts, you're going to have to go fight it through Congress. And you can't just sit and say, I'm going to do a petition or anything like that. You have to actually go with your congressman and get it changed.
Yeah, speaking of, we'll come back. We'll talk about petitions because I think that's something we can learn about too. Thanks for tuning in.
Absolutely.
And we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Lori Ann and Aaron Davis. And tonight we're learning how to support our loved ones while they're behind bars. Thank you for joining us. So before we went to break, you were telling us about what it's like, I guess, the decorum in the courtroom and what you learned in there. I know when I was in there, I really felt like I was in the pit of hell. It wasn't pleasant at all. They wouldn't allow Rudy to open his Bible in there. I know some of them weren't allowed to take in constitutions, and lots of crazy things happen in there.
Exactly. And when you go in, that's one of the things that I said, you need to have everything written on paper, have it memorized, do these different things, because it's going to help you when they say things like that. When they say the Constitution's not allowed in there, you need to go and find out the rules of court or why it's not allowed, or then object to it and find out the reasons why. Call that judge's clerk and say, why was that Constitution not allowed? Why was the Bible not allowed? Go and ask these questions of that clerk and find out where it's written it's not allowed in there. If the judge is just making it up, then you can call them on it. And that's what happened in Nevada. They called them on it, and the Constitution was allowed back in. I always took my Bible into the courtroom. They never bothered me one bit about it. Find out why. They'll say things and go out and find out why. There is a reason why they're saying these things. It may not make sense. It may sound funny, but there is a reason, and there will be a statute or there will be a rule somewhere behind or a code that says something about what they're doing. The one on the Bible and the Constitution, I'm still trying to find it. I haven't found it yet. If somebody does, please let me know.
What about wardrobe? What are the rules on wardrobe while you're in there?
Make sure you're dressed. You can't go in shorts and a tank top. I wore my jeans and my tennis shoes and my sweater and my jacket. You don't have to wear a suit. If you're going before the court, and you haven't been released on bail, they're going to have you in the prison uniform all chained up. Most people wear a suit or their jeans and a T-shirt. You just dress with what you have. I mean, the court can't order you to go out and dress to the nines. That's not what they're there for, and there's no rule on that. But you can't go in a tank top and shorts and flip-flops. That's
what about a T-shirt that says... What about a T-shirt that says jury nullification?
They will not allow that. One of the cases, I know in this court case, the reason why they were doing that is they were trying to set a precedent for jury nullification throughout it with the judge. They had discussions off to the side and were saying that that wasn't allowed. The attorneys will go and say what is or is not allowed in the court case and agree on it. Like I said, they're wheeling and dealing behind the scenes. And then they will allow or not allow it. So if they won't allow jury nullification in the courtroom, that still does not stop the people outside that are handing out the paperwork or holding the signs or getting things taken care of that way.
All right, well, we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.